Call this Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. Good morning, everyone. This would be a good time, if you're carrying any cell phones, to put them on silent or vibrate or any of the above. You'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first up this morning is item three, discussion of possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, May 6, 2014. Mark?
Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. Item number three, this is discussion before the approval of today's agenda, May 6, 2014. Commissioners, two concerns about today's agenda. Item number 15, discussion possible action of these accounts and payroll checks. Open meeting law prefers if an item's been continued from the previous meeting to include that in the agenda. This item was continued because, Commissioner Gilman just got up and left without saying a word at the last meeting, and this item number 15 had to be continued to this meeting. And item number 16 is listed as a possible action item in regards to a special use permit, but reading the agenda, it's unclear what action will be taken in regards to this item, and hopefully your action involves some kind of contract between Story County Jeep Posse. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'll comment on item 15. It's not unusual for local, state, or federal elected officials and staff to occasionally leave a commission meeting or a board meeting for other critical duties. The reason why number 15 was done that way is Commissioner Gilman, with my knowledge, did have to leave to attend to another more urgent matter. And this particular item, while routine, has been challenged before under conflict of interest, since there's a bucket of blood parking lot payment on there. So that's why it's back on this agenda item.
Good enough. Anyone else have any comments on this?
Remove item 11.
Continue item 11, excuse me.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to need to continue item 11.
Okay, just for a motion for that, commissioners, I would ask that you continue that to an indefinite date, not the next meeting. Staff continues to work with ARDA on working through these matters.
Okay. So your motion stands to continue to an indefinite date?
Yeah. Item number 11, motion to continue that to a date to be determined while staff works with ARDA on that.
Very good.
Second.
Moved in second to continue indefinitely, item 11. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. And we'll go back and any other discussion on item three? So at this time, move for a motion.
Motion to approve today's agenda.
Second.
Moved in second to approve the agenda for May 6, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. On to item four, discussion of possible action, the approval of the minutes for the April the 15th, 2014.
Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been moved in second to approve the minutes for April the 15th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, very good. We'll move along to the consent agenda. Do you have any questions on the consent agenda today? The this time.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved in second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay. We'll move right along to item eight. This is, there's no action and no public comment on this, the committee and staff report. So, Adam, you're sitting in the front row. Why don't you come up and give us your report this morning? Mark Twain, Community Center.
Thank you. Good morning. My name's Adam Robello. I'm the chairman of the Mark Twain Community Center. I just want to give you a brief update of what's been going on. Our attendance has been increasing. The calendar's getting full. We're becoming regulars at the VC parades. We're really enjoying that. The Mustang Cares Food Program has a new committee leader. I believe that's Maggie Mahan. And we were informed we'll now be getting assistance from the USDA with food boxes for the low-income seniors in our community. That starts tomorrow, today. And the library's up and running. I think we got a ton of books in there. Our bank is still the same with 600. We're still waiting for the repairs. I talked to Mr. Nevin, and as soon as they have a free time, we'll send Jason down to help us get those taken care of so we can get our permit taken care of. And the community involvement, we've got Neighborhood Watch starting. The meeting is tomorrow. At what time? 6 o'clock. And we've had several political meetings there and candidates using the building. Girl Scouts, 4-H and FFA have shown interest. And to finalize, Mother's Day tea we're having on the 10th at 1:30 for any mothers that want to come down and have tea. And as usual, our public board meetings are always the third Wednesday of each month. And that's all I've got for you today.
Adam, have you got any information background on the 501c3 and how that's moving?
Still haven't heard a word about it. We're still waiting.
Where are you waiting on? From the state?
From the federal.
From the federal side?
Yeah.
All right. But we have submitted.
We have submitted. And I believe... I just went blank for the name.
Very good.
But, yeah, it's been submitted, and I believe the fees have been paid. We're just waiting.
Mr. Swagan, do you have anything on this?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys are just doing a great job. I mean, every time you guys appear here, you've got another program up and running. And you deserve a lot of credit for what you're doing down there. Okay, Denny, PCTC.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just a couple updates. First of all, I'd like to thank Susie Lawyer and Heroy Marshall for working with the county on the few things we had with the Grand Prix, as well as the other events, 4th of July and the camel races. So, and then we're also working with them on a long-term plan to secure some little smoother transition and application process for all of our events. So thank you, Susie. Coming up, we got chili on the Comstock. It's our 31st year of putting chili up here, and it's grown to quite an event. Right now, we look like we're going to be closing the street for 2 days from Taylor to Union Street. Good and bad when we close the street. A lot of merchants enjoy it. A lot of merchants have questions about it. So, unfortunately, it's one of those things where it's too big for our parking lots, too small to extend to the whole street. So we just have to kind of find a happy medium. excuse me. Let me see what else. Oh, billboard. Jim Collins saved us a considerable amount of money with a local bid on restoring our billboard on North End of town. And we should have a design for the Comstock History Center to approve here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll get that up. Let's see what else here. And then also, this last weekend was our first Flashback Fridays. We put through about 400 people on Friday that picked up a map, walked through town, went to all of our museums. Some of the early feedback I had was that it was their best day for donations. Came from St. Mary's Church that they've had in a long time. The Way It Was Museum reported that it was their best merchandise day. Some other folks had some other things we need to work through, but for our first run, which was kind of a blind run, I was pretty happy with the turnout.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I think sometimes we fall under unjust criticism for lack of transparency. And on this billboard sign, I'd like to ask Denny if you can share either approximate or firm numbers from the three quotes that we had, because I think it's a testament not only to the process, but also to the quality of local contractors like Mr. Collins.
Sure, sure. We actually reached out to sign companies here in Northern Nevada and picked up bids from one, Yesco. Gave us a bid of about $90,000 for a new board. Obviously, all the bells and whistles and very, very elaborate. Another company came in at around $60,000, again, to do a board that was dual-sided, had some extra stuff on it. But Jim Collins, I approached him, and he looked at it, got together with his crew, and was able to completely restore that board, put new high-grade panels on it, redo the framework, put a new suspension and tie wires and whatnot, and some new foundations for $9,960. So it saved us a considerable amount of money just having a local person do it. And hopefully it'll be there to outlast us all.
While you're sitting on the bench back there with Elaine, why don't you talk to her? She's got an excellent video that I think would work very well in your visitor center. It's an in-house on modern mining. John Tyson narrates it. Very interesting for your...
Absolutely. Yep, so absolutely.
Is that okay with you, Elaine?
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. That's great. Thanks. Thank you, Denny. Yeah, Flashback Fridays, that's the most people we've seen on a Friday in Virginia City at this time of year in a long time. It was extremely successful. Good new event. All right, Community Services, Sherry Nevin.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. Just a reminder that the Highlands evacuation drill will take place on May 17th, coming up here in 2 weeks. The evacuation center will be at the Virginia City Middle School. We're also going to be offering pet microchipping and dog licensing open to all Story County residents from 12 to 3 p.m. at the middle school. Save the date for October 18th. We are in the planning stages for the next Story County Health Fair to be held at Piper's Opera House. A special thank you to the fire department and their fuels crew for the help that they gave us a couple of weeks ago down at the Lockwood Community Garden, removing some weeds and other debris out of there. The volunteers are working, and they're getting the beds filled up and ready for the summer growing season. Hillside Elementary School is also getting involved now, doing some projects. And I'm happy to report that we have closed the grant for this project, and we have one of the best-looking gardens around. I've toured a couple of different community gardens in the surrounding areas and actually out of state, and ours looks pretty good. So thank you to the folks down in Lockwood that are doing a good job to keep that up and running. Also, thank you to Community Chest and the local 4-H Explorers Club for their help this past week with a couple of seniors in helping them remove some items during the community cleanup event. We really appreciate their support. As Adam mentioned, we are starting a commodity senior food program for the Mark Twain community. This is for seniors over the age of 60 that meet certain income guidelines. USDA was out 2 weeks ago at the food pantry. We signed up three folks then. They'll be delivering those items to Virginia City up to Community Chest. That's their normal drop on Tuesdays until we get up to 15 signed up, and then they'll deliver right to the center. So USDA will be out again at the next food pantry date to hopefully get some more signups and get to that 15 so we can actually have the delivery right there. Last week I met with some folks from the Nevada Rock Art Foundation, and we're working with them on some access issues that they're having. So working with Pat and some other team members here at the county, we'll hopefully be able to help them out with some of that. Desi and I, in planning, have been working to submit an application, which is due tonight at 9 o'clock. Desi's been working very hard on this. It's called the Citizens Institute for Rural Design Grant Program, first time we've ever applied for anything like this. It's a program that provides communities under 50,000 with access to resources they need to convert our ideas into reality. And they offer grants to small towns and rural communities to come in and host a 2.5-day workshop with our staff. They bring in professional designers and other folks. The grant award would be for $7,000, and we'd have to come up with a $7,000 in-kind or cash match. We've been very successful in getting, I think we're probably up to 10 letters of support from both our county officials. USDA has sent us a letter of support. The Historic Commission, Tom Gray at the Railroad. I mean, we've had great response to that, so we're hoping that those letters of support will really push our application over the top. So we should hear by June whether or not we were successful on getting that grant award. And then I just wanted to make notice that I will miss the May 19th meeting. I'm very sorry. Desi and I will be traveling to Tonopah for 2 days to attend the CDBG grant administration workshop that is mandatory. So we'll be there for 2 days. So that's all I have, if anyone else has any other questions.
Well, Sherry, I suspect everybody joins me in thanking you. Your countywide community outreach programs are just incredible. We're seeing such a difference. And, you know, you've taken on that task and challenge, and what a wonderful job you're doing. So
thank you.
Thank you from our heart.
Thank you. Thanks.
So, do we have anything for Community Chest Library today? Pam Abercrombie?
Pam Abercrombie for the record. This weekend we had the Cow Dunk, the first annual Cow Dunk, and it was a collaboration with Story County Fire, Sheriff, Lyon County Fire and Sheriff. And I think we had a pretty good time. Sheriff Antonaro was there. Chief Haynes wasn't able to come, but Lyon County Fire took the trophy for raising the most money, and Lyon County Sheriff took the basketball tournament. It did get a little competitive, but we did have a really good time and an awesome turnout. So that was very exciting to raise almost $4,000 for the Classroom on Wheels program. We threw that together in 3 months, and it came out really – the collaboration was my most exciting part. The yard sale, which I appreciate Danny Dotson from BCTC allowing us to collaborate that. There was some good yard sales around the community that I heard. We only brought in $600, but that's $600 more for us to put towards our Global Voice program. And as far as the library is at a very exciting time. Chris Klug, if you could stand up. This is our library director. She's a project management specialist. She's done some stuff throughout rural Nevada. And we now have an average library use of 55, which is up from 36 in March. So far in May, it's May 6th, which is my birthday. And we've had 15 people. So our library usage is coming up. She's got programs, story time, regular open mic, book discussions, a Victorian book club, stargazing, astronomy events, craft circle, friends of the library meeting. And we have regular calendar that comes out every month. It's open in Mark Twain. We have 905 juvenile books down there and a book exchange program, which we don't count the books on that. And we have almost 4,200 in BC. So we're looking at continually to increase our library use.
Further.
Any questions?
Pam, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but again, reflecting back, I know the county got hit pretty hard when we made the difficult decision to close the library a couple of years back.
Yes.
And not only do I commend you, I think I want to brag and have you brag about your numbers, either with your librarian or yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we had a library that was open 20 hours a week, more or less, situated only in Virginia City. So to hear Adam talk about tons of books and Mark Twain,
yeah.
Can you just give us just a few minutes about where we are, where books are, and in general, how many hours were open in each of those locations each week?
Okay, well, we've increased the Virginia City location to 20 hours a week. It's 2 to 7 on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and 10 to 3 on Friday and Saturday. In Mark Twain, we're open 9 to 1. It alternates by week, 9 to 1 and then 3 to 7. And Chris has almost got a library volunteer secured to have it open on Saturdays in Mark Twain. We're working with Lockwood. that we're trying to come in at that community in a way that we can best meet their needs. And I'm going before the VC Highlands Property Associations this month with Chris to see if there's anything we can do out there. So we've got 20 hours in VC, and I think, is it 4 hours a week? 4 hours a week, and then until we get Saturdays, then it'll be 8 hours a week. We've got some of the books. We really lost our storage, so we scrambled last week to get all the books in locations where they'd be safe. There's a total of 12,000 books, I believe, and we've got 4,200 in VC and 905 in Mark Twain. I was very adamant to get the Nevada collection up. She's got the Nevada collection up at the library. She's also got a class on how to use EPUBs, so she's trying to teach people how to use EPUBs. So we're trying to come at it at an angle of having tons of programs so that people come in and use, people can come in and learn what they with computers or EPUBs or just, you know, valuing our history here in VC through, you know, book programs and stuff like that.
And do you recall off the top of your head what your funding request is for fiscal year 14-15 in the budget?
25. Right now our budget's about between 50 and 53, 55, because we are still working on small fundraisers. So our annual budget will be 55, let's just roughly between $50,000 and $55,000 a year. So at one point we're at 50, so we had asked the county to match us, so we'll be raising $25,000 in the upcoming year to match the county on that.
And in prior years, running the library under the library board as it was, our annual cost part were in excess of $100,000. They were $105,000. So we're getting this kind of coverage and penetration in our communities for about a quarter the price to the taxpayers. So great.
And that's our goal. And that's our goal, is to try to make this happen in the best that we can to meet the needs of the community. So thank you, Mr. Whitten. Any more questions? Okay. Thanks, guys.
So, thank you, Pam.
No, we did have another yard sale that it's all going to, so thank you,
Mrs.
Sister-in-law. We had a lot
left over. All right, so what's going on at the fire department? Chief Ames?
Good morning. Just to mention one thing that Pam didn't set out in her fundraising for the Cal buses. It took Central Lyon County Fire District and the Sheriff's Office to win that game, but we won't go there right now.
I know. I called it more than.
Yeah. So they had to combine, but we still lost by, I think, one. With that said, fuel projects are still at the forefront for us. Our window is quickly closing. This is a great day for us because we have a little bit of rain, moisture for that chipping project. We're working in the areas of Livery and Calaveras in the Highlands, as well as Geiger Grade. The chipper that was out there working at Geiger Grade had significant issue mechanically. They lost a bearing way down in the machine, so they had to basically tear the whole thing apart alongside the highway. So that's back up and running, and they're in Livery today working on tree removals. And just to remind everyone, under NRS 474.160, Bullet 11, that's the power and authority to go in and clear where there's a designated fire hazard on private or public lands. So with that said, we have that power and authority, but we've also been working with the 1 acre property owners, the 10 acre group out there, have their complete blessing to work in those easements. We've knocked on every door that we possibly could. There's been one complaint from literally the one house. We didn't knock on a door because we weren't able to catch them. They work long hours and we just missed them. But we have had probably three complaints. One was that we were cutting dead trees along Geiger Grade. It wasn't about the live trees, it was about the dead trees that served as a noise barrier to one of the residents. I think we've quelled that's much more of a fire hazard. And then one in Livery and one on Calaveras. I personally talked to the gentleman in Calaveras, and we're out talking to the person on Livery. But for edification of the board, we're not cutting on people's private property, just to be really clear about that. We're cutting on road and street easements within that subdivision. We've worked with both property owners groups. We've actually had one person call and threaten us that we needed to send paramedics out because once he got a hold of our staff, it wasn't going to be pretty. I'm not going to put up with that. We called the sheriff's office. The sheriff will be visiting with him this morning. That's the kind of mentality that we get sometimes. On the flip side of that, we've had literally 40, probably 50 emails, calls saying, thank you, we really appreciate this. But I just want to make you aware that we have been threatened by one property owner. And Sheriff Antonaro's staff will be taking care of that this morning for us. But we're well within our authority. Not only are we well within our authority, we've worked with both property owners' groups, and we've knocked on every single door in the areas that we've worked in. So I think we've tried to accommodate as well as we possibly can. The reason for those clearings is really pretty simple. It's ingress and egress. We have got to be able to get in and have a fighting chance to protect people's homes and their lives. We've got to get people out, and we've got to get people in. If we don't clear along these streets and these roads, we can't even get in to protect it. We don't even have a fighting chance. That's why we're clearing along these roads. So with that, I'll move on if there's no questions about the fuel projects. Our seasonal academy started yesterday. We're beginning to ramp up for fire staffing. This week we're doing a fire academy internally with the seasonal staffing. We have seven members on board. By July 1st, that'll ramp up to 11. So we'll be at full staffing of 11 July, August. Into September, beginning October, we'll ramp that back down slowly until we don't have any staffing left by the end of October. Great crew this year. We have seven new personnel joining that crew. I think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're helping mentor these folks, and a lot of these folks from last summer were able to get permanent full-time jobs with PLN, Division of Forestry, U.S. Forest Service, CAL FIRE. So it's a positive thing. I hate losing them, but they're going on to careers in this fire service. I mentioned the chipper breaking. That's only about one more day left on guard grade project. There's no more cutting. It's only chipping. So I apologize that it looks like a nuisance out there with everything pulled up against the guardrail, but kind of out of our control. Our fuels crew van, we had a truck donated by Central Lyon County that had about 180,000 miles on it, but it worked great for a long time, for about a year and a half. That finally blew up, literally. We sent that to auction, so we've replaced that with a used van, two-wheel drive van that carries 12 passengers. The reason I bring that up is that van will be available for any department or anyone that needs that. It'll carry 12. That'll be here by the end of the week for that fuels crew. We just brought on another seven reserves. As you'll remember, we're approved to carry a total of 8 reserve firefighters on staff. We were down to literally one person due to attrition and losses. So I'm happy to report that we're back to full staffing. Those folks are going through their orientation periods where they have to work 5 8-hour sessions. Each day they have a specific task they have to complete and be signed off. And they're all getting close to being fully fledged reserve firefighters. And then the last thing that I had is I don't bring up the volunteer arm a lot. They've got a good positive voice, I think, in the community on their own. But specifically, there's one person I want to recognize to the board, and that's Kristen Chandler. She is the secretary, treasurer for the volunteer department, and she's doing a phenomenal job for us. We started really waning our numbers over the last 5 or 6 years or so. I'm really happy to report to you that our numbers are higher than they have been in probably 10 years. We're up to about 26, 27 volunteers district-wide. On large part, that's due to Kristen's efforts. She's a great secretary, and I just wanted to publicly thank her for all of her hard work and dedication. And again, she doesn't get a penny out of any of this, so I personally appreciate her and wanted to make sure you knew her efforts. And if there's no questions, that's all I have.
Can you address the raffle fundraiser that you let me know about yesterday? Because I think the public would like to know that and head wherever and buy their tickets.
Kinda.
Okay.
The volunteer fire department was the recipient of a donation a few years ago for a timeshare at Lake Havasu in Arizona. They've been trying to work something out where they can put a package together and raffle that off over the course of 12 months. The raffle will be airfare, rental car, and 7 days of the timeshare, and the tickets are $25 each. That should be rolling out shortly, and that's all volunteer efforts, so we're hopeful that that'll bring in several thousand dollars to volunteer funds.
Great. Okay. I just want to say I've gone out and driven around through a lot of the fuel reduction areas. It really looks great. Outstanding job on that. I can't believe how much wood they cut. And really send it out, and I think hopefully we don't have to prove how well it works.
Right.
But it's it really You guys did a great job on that.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that. It's been an incredible amount of work. We received those grant funds, but we still have to administer all that. We don't have any additional staff to do it, so it's been cramming and cramming trying to get these things done before we lose our window of opportunity due to summertime coming.
It's also improved the visibility driving, too.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I forgot to leave. They cut sight triangles on a lot of the intersections, so you can see traffic now coming from different directions.
That's a great point. We've tried to do that in sight directions and lines of sight, and then around power lines. Really, we're only doing ones and twosies along roads where we know that there's going to be direct fire penetration across the road that would allow us not to make access to those properties in a wildland environment, wildland urban interface fire. So thank you. I appreciate those comments.
Yeah, you're
going to have to call our friends down in Washoe County and have them do their piece of the highway, because we're really outshining them today.
Thanks. I think it looks like a park on Long Tiger personally, so I'm pretty happy with the results. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Okay. There's something to report from planning today. Desi Redmond?
Thank you, Chairman. First thing I want to announce, the next Planning Commission meeting is May 15th in Lockwood. This will be a master plan workshop. And Kim Lee Horn, who's a civil engineering firm, have requested to be there to talk about the bicycle plan that they're doing for 14 rural counties in Nevada. They're partnered with NDOT. So we will be looking for public comment on this matter and any general input regarding transportation in the county. So that will be at the Rainbow Bend Clubhouse on May 15th at 6 p.m. Also, I'm excited to announce 200 people, our county residents, have filled out the community survey. So please continue to spread the word. It's on our homepage, or you can request a hard copy from the planning department. And third, I want to recognize Lindy, who works on the planning staff. She's been with the county for about a year now. She's done a great job, and she takes on any task with a positive attitude. She's been really great to work with. Fourth, as you all know, I'm working on the layout for the parking design. It's in its conceptual phase as of now, anyone who wants to stop in and talk about it, welcome into my office. And fifth, I know Sherry mentioned a little bit about the CIRD award. I just want to say, if we are awarded this award, CIRD actually sends 3 to 4 professional planners, landscape architects, and other design professionals from entities such as the Urban Land Institute and Project for Public Spaces. So those are really prestigious institutes from all over the nation and have done work all over the world. So it would be a really great thing to get. So is there any questions? Thank you.
Great. No. Thank you, Dizzy. Mr. Nevin, Public Works. I guess things have been pretty slow at your department.
Good morning, commissioners. Yes, actually. No, kind of the other way, as you well know, I'm sure, Mr. McBride. Anyway, the last couple of weeks, we've been pretty slammed. If it's not a water problem, it's a sewer problem. And we've had our share of several of both over the past couple of weeks. Again, I want to reiterate to the board and thank you, and hopefully it gets publicized in the newspaper, our thanks to the Lyon County Public Works for coming to our rescue on two occasions with their Vactor truck again. I mean, they drop what they're doing at a moment's notice. And, I mean, they're here within a half hour usually, and we needed their assistance twice within the last couple of weeks. And they're just great, great folks, and I'm glad we have good neighbors off the hill here that we can count on. The other thing that we've been involved with is the little pilot project for the paver install on a portion of a section of the C Street sidewalk, basically from Joe Curtis's old bookstore to Zephyr's Cove up there on the south. That should be completed today. As part of that, we did some removal and reinstall of some curb and gutter that was in pretty dilapidated condition, and there was a lot of low curb through there, and it really helped blend in the paver project real nicely. And we've seen nothing but positive comments regarding the project. I mean, we've had some issues with some parking there naturally in the work zone, but, you know, that's to be expected, especially on C Street. But they'll be out of there this afternoon, so I think it turned out real, real nice. So we're looking forward to maybe doing some other areas as funds permit. And I just want to mention at this point, too, that the Liberty Engine, which is also the Comstock Firemen's Museum, has contributed a substantial amount to that project in the amount of $4,250. And the county's share of that sidewalk amounted to about $10,000. So that's about a third of the cost that they contributed to it. So pretty significant. The other thing going on is we're working on the west wall behind the courthouse here. You don't see them working because they're kind of hidden behind view, but we'll do what we can with the funds we have set aside for the repointing of this wall. It's in pretty bad shape back there, as you well know. The swimming pool is scheduled to open on June 16th. Sounds late this year, but school doesn't get out till the 12th. Graduation is the 14th, and of course, our summertime help are all students, lifeguards, and the pool manager and pool assistant. So, in the meantime, we've got some interior repairs to do down there in the pool. We'll be doing some cleanup, repaint of the interior restrooms, office, and redo the floors. And if funds permit, we'll look into replacing some of the lighting in that pool area. Lights date back to 1963, so they need to be replaced, but we're looking to see if funding is available. Let's see. The sewer plant project, we have a pre-construction conference scheduled for the 21st of this month. We've been, and Sherry has done a fantastic job of getting all the documentation put together and put in order, and I think the final packages are pretty much ready for signature. We're just waiting for the USDA signature. I think that that's the last one, and we should have that hopefully this week. So pre-construction we'll meet here on the 21st to get that project kicked off. All of our county parks, the landscaping water is all up and operating. We're in the process of fertilizing all the parks this week, so just had a few little minor issues over wintertime. We will also be looking to possibly participate with the Story County School District to look into replacement of an old dilapidated retaining wall behind the Piper's Opera House building and a portion of the Union Street easement that runs up along the south side of the building. They're in the process of soliciting requests for some grant funding, and so we may be able to participate in that project as well with some in-kind and or assistance in cash from the Virginia City Road Maintenance Fund. The 5 Mile Reservoir rehabilitation project has been kicked off with the design, engineering, and soils analysis contract with Far West. I'm happy to report that Comstock Mining is participating with a cost share of 50%, and we've received their check for that 50% of the design and engineering, and we've been looking forward to doing something with the reservoir out there for many years. It's been, 10, 11 years now, I guess, that we have not been the beneficiary of that 5.5 million gallons of additional storage at that location. So it'll be good to get that going again, up and operating. So we're just in the first stages of a long process, I'm sure, but that's the way things happen. And the other thing is we assisted the Senior Citizen Center here locally with an auction, getting one of their vehicles auctioned off, and it was a vehicle actually that they had received as a donation, and then come to find out it needed quite a bit of tender loving care, and it seemed like it was in the shop week after week after week, so they decided it best to sell it, and it generated $3,450 for use maybe in something else that they can purchase, or maybe look into another vehicle. I'm not sure what they're going to do with the money, but we did go ahead and get their check out to them for that vehicle. The other thing is we'll be bringing on some seasonal intermittent employees. A few of them are starting back here next Monday. We'll go on our summertime hours then. We'll be working 4-10s, and we'll be putting a job announcement out for some additional seasonal help hopefully this week. Austin and myself are working on that, and so hopefully that announcement will go out this week. Again, I want to thank everybody for their cooperation when we were on conserved water. We lost a recirc pump at the water plant and had to order a new one, and it came from the East Coast. And so we were on a conserved water for over a week. Just want to thank everybody from Public Works for, you know, helping us out. We made it through. So I think that's about all I have for you, unless you gentlemen have questions.
Since you mentioned the pavers, maybe you could highlight the new front porch in front of the Fireman's Museum as well, since that was
some
private grant money along with...
Yeah, the Fireman's Museum actually had received a grant from an individual in Reno for, it was at least $10,000, as I recall, for that project. They contracted with Collins Construction here locally, and I believe the porch pretty much is done. Jim is going to do some additional work on the front of the building, the little spire, the bell tower in that area, and the old flagpole's been removed with some assistance from Sierra Pacific, or I guess it's NV Energy, here locally. They brought one of their trucks up, and we're able to get up there and get that one off the building and remove the little cupola from the bell tower, and I think Mr. Curtis is in the process of restoring that. So it's all coming together. It looks a little bit different there, but I think it's a nice blend, and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it this afternoon when it's all said and done. So.
Sure cleaned up the looks of that whole area.
It really did. I mean, it made a huge difference.
We took out the worst part of the sidewalk in town and turned it into being the nicest sidewalk.
Yeah, I think that really came out darn nice, and you know, along with the work on the museum there, just really brightened up that section. That's been pretty ugly for a long time.
Well, and hopefully it'll serve as a good model alternative to others. I mean, we're looking at the parking lot next door, and sidewalks have to factor into that for pedestrian safety. I think, you know, the merchants are always plagued with boardwalk maintenance, and this may be a long-term attractive option.
Well, I think, you know, I like the wood, but I understand that, you know, maintenance is a big issue, so it's probably a good balance, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think it really blends in nice, even with the boardwalks through that area. You know,
it
was interesting to note that
end up putting some more of that in somewhere. Maybe they make it in like a faux cobblestone or something. That
well, we looked at a few different options there, and you know, this seemed to be the most cost effective way to do it and still accomplish a decent look. I mean, these pavers are made locally in Carson City. So we have easy access to them if we have issues. We looked at some others we would have had to order from either Texas or Minnesota, and it just, you know, wasn't going to work out the way that we initially thought. So we went with the next best alternative.
You know, when Pat brought the sample in, the wood grain, too, on it, I think if you had a – I understand why it wouldn't work over there because you're working with nothing but compound curves, but – if you had a level area, I think those some long ones with that wood grain would look nice too. You know, breaks things up.
It was interesting to note, and I didn't make mention, but I will now, that one day we were there doing some work on the curb and gutter as far as the R&R, and we had an NDOT permit inspector want to know where our permit was. And luckily, Deborah Starnes with NDOT, who's one of our allies down there at NDOT, was with the gentleman. And she told him to leave us alone. So I asked Deborah, I said, can you tell me where I need to send the bill to for the curb and gutter replacement? She chuckled and laughed. We've been after them, of course, for a few years to do something with curb and gutter. But anyway, we made it happen, at least in that portion of town. So. That's all I got.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gallagher, do you have something today from the Comptroller's Office?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. Final budgets will be presented for your approval on May 19th of this month. I'm assuming that the start time will be 0900. I want to take this opportunity to thank all the department heads for a tremendous tentative and all of their dedicated work through the final budget. Jesse Fain and I have gone through every single item again because that's what we tend to do. We have made some adjustments down on the budget for certain line items, but we have also found through this last voucher period, whenever we also think that we need to increase some people's because of unforeseen circumstances and things that was not readily available or the information was not available to us during the tentative. As far as we can tell, the revenues that we'll be budgeting will probably have very little or no impact. We have not received anything from the Department of Taxation that makes us squirm either reducing revenue or increasing revenue. So I think our numbers are fairly solid, and I'm looking forward to having that approved. A note for the public, if when you receive or when the final budget comes out, if you have a particular item or items that you would like to discuss or you would like some answers to, I could probably get to it in a little more detail before the meeting than really during the meeting. So if you have a chance to do that, I'd welcome all of that. I want to mention the Mark Twain 501c3 with that Mr. Gilman, Commissioner Gilman, presented. We do have a form letter from the Department of Internal Revenue that says that pretty much keep going the way you're doing and your process will be approved at a later date. Now, why they couldn't have just approved it on that form letter is whatever. I'm thinking that they're using the same tactics as the Bureau of Land Management. I'm not sure, but it seems to be going that way. So that's all from my desk right now.
Great. Sheriff?
Good morning.
Hi.
Follow up on what Mr. Gallagher said regarding the budget. There'll be a little bit of an adjustment on a portion of my budget between now and the final because I've received notice from the senior center that they will no longer be providing us inmate meals. There's good news and bad news with that. They've decided it was no longer feasible for them to do that, so we will incur a little bit of cost up front to make some repairs to some equipment we've not used for several years. But on the flip side of it, I believe we've found a provider that may save us some money in the long run as far as the food costs itself. So that's one adjustment that I'll be working with Mr. Gallagher on in the next couple of weeks. The only other thing that I believe I have, go back to what Pam had talked about with the fundraiser that we did over the last weekend on the Cowbus program. We were afraid we were not going to be able to field a team with staff members, so we have some great partners with Special Olympics who sent some of their basketball players up to participate with us, and I would like to thank them for that. It was a great endeavor that I look forward to doing again in the future. Any questions?
Is there anything? No. Thank you, Sheriff. County Manager Scott Wood.
Yes, a couple things. One is we've now used the date May 19th a couple of our staff reports. I want to point out that May 19th is a Monday, so our next commission meeting will be on the third Monday in May, not on Tuesday as everybody normally thinks, and that's required by statute for county local governments to approve their tentative budget. And if there are no objections to 9 a.m., since Mr. Gallagher has thrown that out there, we'll go ahead and start it at 9. So, next is I'm being asked more and more often and falling further and further behind on the status of the houses in the parking lot next door, so I will be brief. I am finalizing getting to Mr. Morris and Mr. Maddox my rendition of the advertisement that we'd like to put in the local paper of record and on the website, noticing our intent to auction those. There's still a few logistical things I want to work out with legal counsel, like proxy bids that have been used in the past. But I think our disclosures are set. We just need to finalize the restrictions that we want to put on them in order to be compliant. My hope would be that we are advertised by the next commission meeting, no later. At least with an initial advertisement, we might advertise for 2 weeks to try to stir up interest, and then have that auction toward the end of this month. So that's our current goal. Engineering plans are currently underway with Far West Engineering to come up with a barrier wall, support wall, retaining wall, and we're also working through other lot acquisitions as available so we can make this be everything it is. And I want to recognize, although she seems to float in and out of here on me, two people. One is on the parking lot specifically, and that's Desi Redman. Desi has a degree in landscape design, so she has begun to get us conceptual sketches that we're taking the best of two or three different options. And we're going to have some significant parking, but also hopefully a little pizzazz in design, so it's not just a bare asphalt parking lot. So it's looking good there. And then Sherry mentioned the collaboration between her and Desi, and I'm going to just kind of pick up the tent flap here a little bit on a really exciting opportunity that Sherry and Desi are working on together that may really help toward the beautification of portions of Virginia City. So they're a great team to work with, especially when they put the power of two together on it. It seems to go up exponentially. So I want to thank them both.
And last, I'm going to go ahead and raise something that I don't think has been raised yet in this commission. It's sure to spark controversy. It is sure to spark spirited debate. But staff is beginning to have to devote an awful lot of hours on what we need to do to get up on the curve regarding medical marijuana. The last legislature made it legal for medicinal marijuana establishments, what we're referring to as MMEs. Those take place in terms of either a dispensary, a growth facility, or a production facility, production being more into the infusion products, as I'm led to understand it. It is surely fought with controversy. It is still against federal law. But the state has pretty much boxed us into a corner to have to begin to prepare. Other counties have. So staff is beginning to work on a number of options for you to consider, and we will continue to do that and hope that we can bring something to you in 60 to 90 days. The process, as I understand it, is the state will announce shortly that they will take certificate applications. When they finally make that announcement, it will be, we will take applications beginning in 45 days. After 45 days, for the next 10 days, interested parties can submit their application for certification to the state, and there's a long list of requirements that they're still developing, apparently. And then after that 10-day window period closes, there will be 90 days provided for the state to go ahead and make rankings and decisions on those. So how that impacts us, where it's currently banned by Title 17 zoning ordinance in most everywhere, we're still working in those areas where that does not apply. So stay tuned. And Desi Redmond is our point of contact on that, so if anybody has any input that they want to provide, please feel free to chat her up on it.
Very good. Thank you. Anything from the District Attorney's Office? Deputy DA Hoyer? Special Counsel, Mr. Morris? Anything over here? Have I missed anybody? All righty. Let's move on to item 10, discussion possible action, approval of ordinance 14-257. Mr. Gallagher, you want to take lead on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to introduce Kendra Follett from Sherman and Howard. Here in the front row to answer any of your questions. This is a, their firm does the specialized things that has come this has been a long time coming, and Kendra is a licensed attorney in Nevada and Pennsylvania. Her firm has done an outstanding job with this, and to just summarize, what we would like to do is that an ordinance of the Board of County Commissioners of Story County, Nevada, authorizing and directing the issuance of a sewer revenue interim debenture, series 2014, in anticipation of the receipt of certain funds and the issuance and sale of sewer revenue bond of the county, therefore, provided the form, terms, and conditions of the debenture, the security thereof, the sale thereof, providing for adoption as if an emergency exists, and providing other details in connection therewith. Attached for your review and acceptance is the ordinance for consideration authorizing the issuance of the Story County Sewer Revenue Interim Debenture as part of the USDA Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. This ordinance is drafted for the adoption in one reading pursuant to NRS 350.579 and must be approved by a vote of at least two-thirds of the Board of County Commissioners. The ordinance must be published twice by title after adoption and pursuant to the term sheet provided by Wells Fargo. The debenture must close by May 30th of 2014, which means the secondary publication may not be later than May 29th, 2014. I'm not sure if the Commission has any questions, but I'm sure that Kendra would be glad to answer anything you've got.
I'd like to add, I always like to see Kendra here, and then I don't, because that means we're borrowing money. But Kendra's firm has served us impeccably over the years, and I think the firm name has now changed, as I recall, probably since we last dealt with you. But these are such complex matters that you need the best that's out there. And for public sector bonding, Kendra's the gal to go to. So thanks for being there for us yet again.
Great. Anyone have any questions on this? Mark, come on up.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. In discussion of agenda item number 10, it says approve ordinance 14-257. For clarification, is this a first reading? Or, okay, this would be considered a first reading, and then there'll be a second reading after publication. This, an ordinance, there was no notice in the paper of this ordinance yet, so it would have to be on the agenda the next meeting.
I think we'd defer to legal counsel. With your permission.
Yeah.
Kendra, on this one.
Go ahead.
Hi, Kendra Follett from Sherman and Howard. Bond financings have a special provision in statute. The legislature acknowledges that there's some urgency to adopting them, and under the local government securities law, which is Chapter 350, and Hugh mentioned this particular site, 355-79, it allows for adoption in one reading. As if an emergency exists, which is just procedural, no emergency needs to be declared. It's permitted by the legislature. So this is the introduction and adoption. And it'll be published twice by title, as provided in 244, NRS 244, and also 350.
Thank you for that explanation.
Now you know where we go to.
Anyone else have any questions? Okay. Entertain a motion.
I move to approve ordinance 14-257, authorizing and directing the issuance of a sewer revenue interim debenture series 2014.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second to approve.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Very good.
Aye.
Thank you for coming up today. Okay. We've already continued item 11, so now we'll move on to item 12, discussion possible action to approve the second reading of ordinance number 14-256, changing the name of the 747 Fire Protection District, because you just can't go through this too many times.
Let's get her done.
Good morning, Board. Robert Morris, for the record. This is the ordinance prepared by District Attorney Maddox to clean up the 474 section of the code, making it clear that our fire district is 474 district, and it takes out the section that Chapter 2.57, which was the 473 district, and unless there's any questions, I'd ask the board to go ahead and approve the second reading.
Just more housekeeping. Any questions on this? Someone like to entertain a motion?
Yes, I would. I hope I never see 473 again. Motion to approve the second reading of ordinance 14-256, changing the name of the 474 Fire Protection District and amending the description of the boundaries of said district.
I'll second your motion.
Moved and second to approve. Aye. Ordinance 14-256. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Perfect. Moving on to item 13, discussion of possible action. Approve the first reading of ordinance 14-255, deleting Story County Code chapters. Mr. Morris,
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Robert Morris for the record. This was brought up at the last meeting, and the board approved the concept of adopting the 2012 international codes. This ordinance actually changes the code to do that. It's a first reading, and let me just point out a couple of reasons why this is important to go forward with. One of the items that you can continued the appeal from ARDA regarding building permits is actually taken care of in this ordinance. If I could just briefly say that on page 41 or 31, there's a new section about appeals from decisions. In the code, it contemplates using an appeals board instead of going through the Planning Commission and the Board of County Commissioners. What I would suggest is that the second reading will discuss it further. There's some other sections in here that are being changed, and one of them is an item that's a special use permit on a mother-in-law quarters. We are, again, looking to change what's in the code, the existing code. And that section actually makes it much clearer as to how it's to be done. And so it's just to show you that there are issues on a sort of daily basis that this code will affect, and I think it's important to go forward with it. But let me read it by title before you do take any action. This is an ordinance deleting Story County Code Chapters 8.12 Fire Hazards, 8.16 Fire and Explosives, 8.20 Alarm System, and amending Chapter 15.04 Building and Construction to adopt new uniform building codes, including fire and building and construction, and amending Chapters 1504, 1508 Building Official, 1512 Permits, to make amendments to the codes for Story County specific requirements and providing for other properly related matters. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
That sure cleaned up a lot of code in there, too.
I think so. It's surprising how much accumulates over the years. And
I'm amazed. Page after page of deletions that cleaned it all out.
Is the county ordinance manual getting thinner now?
All these things were written on two sides. And Mr. Chairman, if I might, Mr. Morris referenced the appeal, which has been actively worked. I think we're under our first appeal with ARDA that we've ever had, and they are being very cooperative and working with us on this. That provision that he mentioned on page 31 continues on to page 32 with an alternative that rather than a Board of Appeals, they could be channeled to me or to the county manager. Mr. Morris and I discussed this. That is not a desired option. I oversee Dean Haymore organizationally, and there is just not that sense of independency that I think needs to be there. So we'd be recommending that we strike the alternative out of the final ordinance, correct?
Yes, at the staff level, we've been working at this for a long time, for months and months, and we've worked our way through most of the issues. There are still a couple that as I said last meeting, that may end up on the board's table to decide. What we're trying to do is eliminate as many or make the best decisions we can on most of them. And if there are a couple left, they would be up to the board.
Great. Anyone in the audience have any questions on this?
Motion to approve first reading on
14-255. Second.
And moved and second to approve first reading of ordinance 14-255. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Boss, any chance for a recess here?
Sure. Let's take 10 minutes.